This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is the company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Guys, welcome back. We're up to episode 128 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell. Alongside me, Johnny Stofko.
What's up, Tristan? What's up, guys? 128, Friday recap, wrap-up.
Yeah, we've had a big week. Tim Sykes, Pete Evans. What a week, man.
Yeah, two very big movers and doers, two very different personalities, but like we do on the Vision Board, two very different stories, both common denominator success.
Yeah, definitely. Tim Sykes doing great things in the penny stock world on the stock market over in America, but we really got to see a great side of Tim.
Yeah, man.
Because the first time I've heard of Tim was on Wall Street Warriors, which was a kind of like a reality TV show where they followed around some finance executives. Finance is an interesting game because a lot of people don't have a huge personality. Tim was that guy, do you know what I mean? And from that, watching that and to where he's come to now, which you asked some great questions on his philanthropy.
Philanthropic.
Yeah. His charity work.
Yeah, his
charity work was brilliant.
What he does, what he gives back, the schools he's opened, Cambodia, Laos. It was one of those things that we could read about it or we could see videos of somebody doing good work, but it's totally different when you get them and sit them down and get them to tell you about it. You kind of could see where it comes from, the intent of it. And if you put the two in the same category, the penny stock trader and being a guy who opens schools for the less fortunate in really rough parts of the world, those two really don't go hand in hand.
No, they don't. And it's great to see. It actually just kind of, taps you on your own shoulder and go, what are you doing for others today?
For sure, man. And like when he said, you guys could do it, $50,000. And I'm like, he's a numbers guy. And it did have me thinking differently because that's a consummate example of a legacy in my terms of like leaving the world a better place. Mm. And we think that you have to be a certain person or you have to have certain, opportunities to really help people. Like, we're not all going to open schools, but that idea that we could help people on whatever scale is the important thing to always remember. And it was interesting and awesome to hear from, a penny trader. I just keep going back to that, Tristan, because when I hear penny trader, it's not something that I would think any young boy or young girl would want to grow up to be.
Well, even in the finance game, it's something that's, people don't really, it's not sexy.
Could you explain?
Because I know penny stock, a lot of the companies, they're not even real. Like, so it's not traded on fundamentals. So, for example, you're going to have blue chip stocks. So, for example, if we're using America, for instance, sake. So you've got Apple, you've got Microsoft, you've got all the big banks, JP Morgan, you've got Goldman Sachs, you've got Bank of America. So they're all listed on the Dow Exchange. Mm. So that's a blue chip stock because the market capitalization of the stock is huge. So they're worth billions and billions of dollars. For a stock like a penny stock, it would be, for us, like the Vision Board Podcast listing on the exchange.
Would we have to pay for that?
Well, yeah, it's one of those. Yeah, we would have to pay some sort of listing fee, but realistically, it's not a real business, so forth, if you get what I mean. So a lot of these companies that list, don't have a place where they actually do business. Some of them don't even sell anything. It's just one of those things that... So penny stock trading is like a little bit like gambling, but there is Tim uses an actual pattern system where he sees... Because obviously the stock market goes up and down. So his system actually detects patterns where... Because you want to be buying in the low and then selling in the high, of course. So his systems try to detect that pattern where you're going to get in at a really good price and be able to sell it at a really good price.
So like predictability?
Yeah, so he's trying to predict what's going the path of the actual stock.
Okay, so have you seen the movie Boiler Room?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, like that, they're similar to that?
It's exactly like that.
Okay, then how does, where does the money come in from? Is it from people like hyping up or like getting people fired up on an idea to have them invest?
No, so it is all above board in terms of getting the money in. So it's called an IPO. So in an IPO, a company lists and then it seeks investors to actually buy into the company and they'll get a certain percentage of shares back. So for example, just say we listed the Vision Board podcast today and we said it's worth $1 million. We will try to raise $1 million to try to buy, so to try and sell that much stock to people. Okay, once that's happened, the stock will list and it is tradable. So that stock that you receive, you can then sell on a public exchange. So the people that weren't fortunate enough to buy some Vision Board podcast stock, they can then buy it onto the actual exchange.
Okay, so what for Tim Sykes and you know how he made his name, what is more important then? Is it the predictability aspect of it or is it the timing of knowing when to jump?
Well, for him, I think his experience brings a lot to the table because you do need to know trading patterns. So it's one of those things that it was interesting that he said he didn't have a mentor because usually a mentor will show you different patterns, trading patterns that you will look for when you're actually trying to buy or sell a stock. So for Tim, he's virtually taught himself from scratch, but he's documented the entire path, which is quite strong. And now he's teaching other people to do it. So it is like he is, I know you like this word contrarian a lot.
Yeah.
He's very much a contrarian because he's doing it so much differently to most people on Wall Street.
Okay.
And then what would you say a guy like Tim Sykes with his success, when you have an example like Wolf of Wall Street, Jordan Belfort, do people look up to a guy like Jordan Belfort? Or no. Is he kind of...
So Tim's doing something totally different. Okay. So someone like Jordan Belfort, he ripped the people off because Tim doesn't do IPOs. So he's not selling the stock of these companies that aren't real. All he's doing is just trading the stock that's available on an official exchange. So he's just buying and selling stock. For someone like Jordan Belfort, he actually ripped people off.
With the intent to actually rip people off. Thanks for clarifying that.
He was selling people's stock in companies that would never exist. They had no business structure. They weren't making any money at all. And unfortunately, you know, Jordan went down that path. You know, obviously he's cleaned his game up a little bit now, but sometimes you can't erase the path. So
yeah, so it would be fair to say in terms of judgment for the people listening at home, don't put everybody, because I think some people put everybody in the same umbrella because of the movie, because how popular Wolf of Wall Street was. They hear somebody as a trader and they might just think, oh, it's all like that.
Yeah, so Tim's doing everything above board. So for example, it's the same as, it's the equivalent of me betting on the Cronulla Sharks or you betting on the Ohio Buckeyes.
Ohio State Buckeyes, how dare you?
Yeah, so all it's doing is we're picking something of interest and something that we think's going to happen. Yeah. So we're trying to predict the future. So that's all we're doing. That's all Tim's doing. So everything for Tim is totally above board. Everything that Jordan Belfort used to do, totally below board.
Was there anything Tim surprised you with or didn't expect from?
Yeah, like I said, the charity stuff was actually quite interesting. But, you know, the fact that he is willing to just back himself, do you know what I mean? But at the same time, he's got money, so he spends money. He's enjoying life. I enjoy that too. You know, you want to get that sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely, man. For sure. It was one of those things that I think people, once again, like people, when we posted that we were interviewing him and having him on the show, not a lot of behind the scenes feedback, or my bad, not a lot of feedback like on the posts, like on the social pages, but people who I know, like that maybe I work with or know me in Sydney, have come up and they, oh wow, like for instance, a guy that I'm helping with his online coaching, Dre in Vegas, the episode came out and he was like, oh, I love that guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how do you love that guy? You're a dentist. He's like, oh, I love trading. I do it at night. And that guy's like the dude to go to. So things like that, I kind of didn't expect his reach.
Yeah.
You know, when I reached out to him, I was just interested in, like we both are when we get these guys on and girls, of learning about something that I have known nothing about.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you realize, though, that, man, you know, he's obviously doing something good when people in other industries are talking about him.
Nah, Tim was a great guy. I really enjoyed talking to him. The other interesting fellow we had on, Pete Evans, my man, what was your first impression of him?
Yeah, Australia boy, you know, now this guy, to the contrary of Tim, when we put on our social pages, we were getting a lot of feedback about, you know, love him or hate him, and it's interesting to me to see when people have negative comments about somebody. Where I'm at in my life, the first thing I do is I ask them, so do you know them? Mm. Have you met them? Are you friends with them? And this is specifically for the people who hate on people. Yeah. And it's a pretty good reflection, though, if you're going to hate on somebody and not know them and only know what you see on TV or you read, it's a pretty good reflection of yourself. If you know, he's the paleo guy or he's crazy or he wants to... Man, Pete Evans just wants to help people.
Yeah.
I think his intentions are great.
Yeah. I actually think that his biggest intention is, like you just mentioned, is just to help people. And, you know, you got a lot of people criticizing him, saying he doesn't have a university degree and things like that. But how many times in a day do we make comments on things that we don't have a university degree in? Do you know what I mean? It's like...
It's interesting how we equate being credible, too. We kind of just throw out life experience and just say, you know what? You have a degree... You're credible. That's not always the case. That's not a good gauge to compare somebody's credibility on.
You could be a good exam sitter, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, Pete is highly successful. And that's the reason why I really wanted him on the show. You know, he sort of touches in a lot of the health and fitness stuff that we like to talk about. But at the end of the day, I think people pigeonhole him into being a fitness expert. Yeah. I don't think he actually thinks he's a fitness expert. He's a food expert. Do you know what I mean? And as food is a big part of nutrition... It kind of makes him an expert. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it's just two and two. But
that's a great point, man.
Yeah, I just love the fact that, you know, he started at 19. He was talking about working 80-hour weeks. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's a grind. He knows what it's like. He's getting the feedback now. That was a great question you asked him about being on TV and him breaking out of his comfort zone, because at the end of the day, he knows he had the family to feed. It's like, okay, so you can go on TV and you can get a lot of money and you can break out of your comfort zone. Or you can not go on TV, you get no money, and your family gets fed. It's an easy decision for me.
Yeah, for sure. And like it or not, guys, this world we live in, people are like, oh, you know, it's not all about money. And they're right. It's not always about money. But the freedom to live the way you want to live has a lot to do with the money you have.
Big time, man.
And if you have a skill or if you have something that people are drawn into you, they want to be around you, they want to learn from you, that is a skill. So I feel he has that. People are drawn into him. People talk about him, whether it's good or bad. But at the end of the day, they're talking about him because he's put himself in that position to be vulnerable. Because the only reason people know about him is because he was on that TV. Was he famous before that?
Mildly. You know what I mean? Mildly.
And the business work. You know, Hugo's. Yeah. Down here in Sydney, Australia, guys, it's synonymous with, you know, you bring Hugo's up, Manly, King's Cross. I know he doesn't have a piece of that pie anymore, but him and his brother started it.
Yeah.
And I used to work in the hospitality industry as a bartender. And the path, though, and you look at the guys who are on TV, Wolfgang Puck, the big one, the Brit, my mind is, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
They all did the whole path of, like, working on a line.
You're talking about Jamie Oliver, right?
No, Oliver's the Aussie, right? No, I'm talking about the dude, if you go to Vegas, he has, like, 30 restaurants.
Hell's Kitchen? Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, Gordon Ramsay. So, like, these guys, the difference between, like, the Gordon Ramsay and Pete, and he clarified this, I found really, really insightful, is that he doesn't want to be around a kitchen where people are yelling and screaming and angry and hungover, and he talked about the one chef who's, you know, has a coke problem and he's making the food angry. That is a very... I talked to a friend of mine after that Pete Evans interview about how we always talk about, we always preach... You know, focus on who you surround yourselves with. Be around, you know, be aware of the energy you bring into the room. But we never talk about
the environment we set for other people. Is that what you mean?
Or the energy that we bring in when we're preparing food. Like when he said the thing about, you know, I have to be in the right mindset to prepare my food for other people because it's going to have an effect on it.
Yeah.
The intent coming through.
Yeah, the love.
And, you know, until he said that, I really never looked at it like that. And, you know, part of me, you know, I don't food prep. You know, as a coach, which is pretty rare, because I, you know, under the impression that food has energy.
Mm.
Like, I'm not going to eat old food because we're putting that into our body. But to hear him say, though, that it's important to him to have a good culture in the kitchen, you know, in a restaurant environment, that's pretty true. Yeah. Nobody really talks about that, and that's a good thing. You want to be served by happy, you know, with happiness, right?
Yeah.
I think because we can't equate that to, like, a number, or you can't really – measure. Like, if a guy who's having a shitty day and a guy's having an amazing day both cook the same meal, they're probably going to taste the same.
Yeah.
But, you know.
No, I agree with that, because there has been a lot of talk about how animals feel before they die, and that affects a lot of
the hormonal that's released
when we, and then we eat that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's.
I'd like to do a little bit more research before I comment too hard, but I have just off the couple of little things I've read.
Yeah.
That's come up.
There's a documentary about that in America, and it talks about like factory farming, and when you put these animals that are. They're using pigs, for example.
Because they know they're going to die, right?
Yeah, they do, and they go crazy. And think about the stress on the body. But when you get, like, the... Because a pig in the wild isn't a pig in a pig pen. Like, it won't eat its own shit. Like, people equate pigs to being filthy animals. That's why some people, oh, I don't eat pork. Say, what do you don't eat pork for? Because the practices that humans have put on that animal?
Yeah.
Because in the wild, they don't act like that. But yeah, there's science behind hormones being released and it affecting the meat and it affecting things that at once we had no idea about, only up until recently, that this has an effect on us. Who knows though the long-term effects on humans and young people and old people when you do eat stuff like that, what it could cause mentally. And, you know, I think as we evolve, we'll just keep learning more and more. And you would think, like a guy like Pete Evans, who's synonymous with food going into people's bodies and the preparation, it's a huge, important part of life.
Big time.
Without people preparing food, we're not going to be here.
No, I agree. 150%.
Yeah, and then think about the negativity, you know, off the top. What are the Australian populace, the alt-right, will say, because we were on an interview earlier, when they hate on him, what do they all say?
In terms of for Pete?
Yeah.
Well, for him, they're talking about him not being an expert, him, you know... Well, there was a couple of things.
The bone broth thing with the baby.
Yeah, that sort of stuff, which is probably true. I think for Pete, what he's just got to realize that he's grown himself to a profile now that people think everything he says is gospel. Mm. So I think the biggest thing is that Pete helps everyone, but I think the biggest thing that he's probably got to just reflect on himself is the fact that he influences so many people that he's got to be careful that everything that comes out of his mouth is right. And I guess in today's day and age when... You're making a lot of money. I'm sure that he can probably employ someone that can actually double check the facts.
A filter
before he actually puts them out there. I think it's a safeguard for him. Like I said, 95% of the stuff that he says is actually pretty much true. So that's a pretty good amount considering some of the shit that we get from today's day and age celebrities. I think he's doing a great thing and he shared some great stories. So I was really, just really pleased to get him on, man.
Yeah, me as well. You know, it's always good to also brush shoulders with people in close proximity to us doing great things. And
success breeds success, right?
Yeah, and it kind of makes the world just a little bit smaller, which is a good thing.
For sure. Guys, really appreciate you tuning in this week. Got some big shows next week. We've got Ro Singh. Ro is the CEO of Populous, and he's also the founder of the Happiness Platform. So it's going to be a couple little things that we're going to do differently in that interview, so it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, don't want to give too much away, but yeah, Ro Singh is going to definitely bring a different dynamic and a different element to the vision board, which you and I and you guys listening have never taken part of, so we're super stoked to share it with you.
For sure. And then second on the list, we've got one of the best bodybuilders in the world. We've got BPAC. We've got Ben Pekulski coming on.
Yeah, Pekulski, the name itself, synonymous with just savagery. Huge, intelligent, strong, perseveres. And the guy's, once again, one of these people in his industry, in his field, at the top of the game. And it just brings another level to our show and what we get to learn and share with you guys as well. BPAC.
Yeah, sharing is huge, guys. So after Ben, we're going to have Mike Dolce. We've got Buddy Morris and also Jordan Harbinger in the next couple of days. So we've actually been doing a fair bit of work. Johnny's going away in June, so we want to make sure that we want to have a few there for you, and we're just going to keep bringing it.
Yeah, so I am leaving in June. We are still
releasing. Yeah,
there will be no downtime.
So we're doing a little bit of overtime work, so then we don't have to take any hiatus at all. We'll just be business as normal.
Yeah, guys, and just continue to like and share the vision board. Subscribe to the show via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. There's new reviews on our iTunes. We love that. I go through those, and I know you do as well, those 5-star reviews. It's just, we don't get the opportunity all the time to meet or, even hear the feedback, but those 5-star reviews mean a lot to us. And you guys listening right now, I would really appreciate if you guys take the time to do that, subscribe to the show, and tell your friends about the vision board.
Couldn't say it any better, guys. So we will catch you next week, but like Johnny said, we really appreciate you joining in, and we will see you soon.
Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working hard at it. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.